Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. My name is John C. Abercrombie, and I will be your host. Our discussion tonight is going to center on the upcoming seasons, because we find that many people, even those that have been on a path to success, often find it very difficult to make it through this part of the year. And most of that is due to the fact that we don't adequately plan. When we look at our schedules, and we talked about this early on, because it is one of the most difficult things that we can do, the road to success. And that is to maintain our pace, or to compensate when there are interruptions to the space. And the reason that we're concentrating on this part of the year is we have so many disruptions to what many can consider a normal schedule. That's Halloween. We're running around picking up candy for the kids, costumes, whatever. Some people are not quite as involved in that as others. But you'll follow the principle that I'm talking about. It need not be a disruption at all. Then we have Thanksgiving. We often travel on Thanksgiving, or people travel to us on Thanksgiving. It's a fairly big celebration. Families get together. And often we lose track of who, what, and where we are. Then we have Christmas. Then we have New Year's. All of these can be very disruptive. The reason that they are so disruptive is most of us have not carried on a schedule like this for very much of our lives. Some of you may be on a schedule for this year, but have you gone through a similar incident in previous years? Some have. And to them, I want to. This is a refresher for those that have not. It is a learning experience, because I found myself involved in so much unplanned stuff that it has thrown my schedule completely off. And in some cases, I got completely off the rails, completely, and did not know how to get back on. And this is the reason that we talk about getting back on. But what we want to do and what we don't want to do is we don't want to miss out on everything during the holidays. If your family has a great celebration, plan on it. What is it going to take for you to do that with minimal disruption to what you're doing for yourself? For example, I lived on the West Coast. My family was on the East Coast, and most of them were on the East Coast, so it wasn't even reasonable to predict that they were going to come west, which meant that we had to pack up, come back here, and usually we planned a week, and it was either doing Thanksgiving or Christmas, very seldom both, but it involved a lot of flexibility. And during the midst of what could be a scheduled flight due to weather, due to other conditions that upset even that schedule. But I found that by planning, I can minimize that effort. Yeah, put down on your calendar that you are going to be in transit. You're going to be basically out of your home area, your area of greatest comfort, for a week, and that you are going to participate in dinner on the holiday, and there may be things that lead up to it prior to. People that you haven't seen for years may show up. But you take this into consideration and plan what you're going to do in that period of time. Are you going to be able to do, some of us find that we can do some things. It may not be the full tilt of what we've always done. For example, you may get up early and read. I do planning. And when you get into a different situation where you've changed time zones and what have you, that may not be the most conducive way to get yourself back in the mode that you need to be in. Consider that, particularly if you have traveled and made this trip before. Usually, east is least, west is best, because you have time to accommodate generally when flying west that you don't have when going east, because all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, it's nighttime, and that often interrupts sleep patterns. It interrupts much of what we do. It interrupts our day. It gets our circadian rhythms off. But I suggest that you look at your schedule, what you intend to do, and plan that around as much as possible around what you intend to do. And why am I talking about this? Because when we did an example quite some time ago, we had a jar, and we filled the jar. Now, if you fill it full of sand and small rocks and whatever, you don't have room for the large ones. But if you put the large ones in first, the sand can fill around the rocks, or the smaller rocks can fill around the larger rocks, and the sand can fill in the remaining gaps. The water can fill in between all of that. And so we can get so much more into the bucket when we do our planning. This is why it is important. There may be events even where you are going that you can participate in. I can recall visiting my son in Arizona, and there were things that I wanted to see in Arizona that were in keeping with what I was doing. There were museum visits. There were other things, and other people can participate in many of these. Sometimes there's seminars, webinars, or whatever that you may be able to participate in that you wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. So let's be smart about this whole thing. Let's use our mind. And when we do so, we find that we are capable of doing so much more. We haven't completely disrupted our routines, but we have filled in. Now, there may be days when you are unable to do anything. Recognize that. Consider that as a day off. And yeah, we can take days off. I talk about that because sometimes we push and push and push and push to the point that we get tired of what we're doing. We get to the point where we are burned out, and we don't want to do that. This is why we have retreats at work. Our church used to have retreats. Other groups have retreats because they recognize the value of replenishing the soul, refreshing the soul. And this can be a fantastic time. If you are burned out, you may want to take a brief cruise. May not be 3 weeks, maybe it is. But what I'm telling you is that you can work other situations into what you're currently going through. And this is extremely important because when we get to the point where we think we have today, because we didn't do anything today, then we begin to question ourselves. Remember the thing that we do in the mornings is we remind ourselves of why we are seeking success on whatever path it may be, whatever path it may be. And we find that even ministers take time off to refresh themselves. That's a job that many people think you just jump in the pulpit an hour a week and that's it. But there is so much more to an effective minister that we often don't see it. sometimes the deacons, trustees, and other groups within the church may see some of it. To many, it doesn't appear that way. When you're gone, do you have somebody that's going to fill in for you? If you have an operation that's going on, have you properly planned for yourself to be gone? Do you have the necessary supplies? Are they going to be coming in? Do you have somebody there that knows what you want done, knows how to get in touch with you, or know who else to call? You can have a situation such as if you're running a restaurant, and I know about this because my mother ran one for 40-plus years, and all of a sudden the hot water heater goes out. What do you do? Now, you may be gone somewhere, but you have to have a trusted person. This is where many times what you have gone through, you need to write down so people have access to it. This is why it's important, and not only for them, but for you, because in the middle of an emergency, you need to be able to put your fingers on whatever you need to do. This is part of planning, but it's not just for the holidays. It's for any time. You may have a number for a plumber or pipe fitter to come in, and that person may be available during days, may be available on 24 hours, whatever it is. You need to have as much information available for whoever is replacing you. Otherwise, you come back, you're very frustrated, you're very upset, you have not made the progress that you wanted to, you may not have kept up with the finances that you wanted to, and this is why it's so important. People that have not put together a business, have not run a business, sometimes don't think about these things because they know when they're there that they can do something. But when you're not there, can somebody else step in and do what you want them to do? This is where we look at procedures. If there's something that you do more than two or three times, it is a good idea to write it down. Write it down. Sometimes even accessing a computer or another device may be essential to maintaining the quality that you want. If you're a writer, are you going to have time to do this? Sometimes a chain of scenery can be fantastic. Let's imagine that you are able to go on a trip, and let's say you're in the mountains, and it may be snowy, a snowy cabin. And during that period of time, you may find it extremely relaxing to sit and write, or maybe to sit and think, or maybe to get out in it and play, whatever it is that is best for you to reinvigorate yourself are things that you should do. Try to plan on them. Many times you can get a zoo pass. Some of us don't think about that, but I have at zoos. And many zoos, especially the larger ones, are on a ticket that allows you to attend for free or a reduced price when going to different cities. Sometimes going there and taking a picnic basket or just buying something and just being out around, whatever it is, some people may find that completely and utterly boring. If it is, then that's not for you, but there is something else that you would probably enjoy doing. See if you can fit some of these things in, because you don't want to go there and be bored sitting around watching the same old TV show that you watched at home and could have watched at home and find yourself being resentful of the entire troop. That's not it. We often change climates. I think about this when I think of many indigenous people. Many of them traveled. They would go north in the summer, south in the winter, almost like the caravans of geese and ducks and other animals that travel. There is a different season. There is a different reason. Let us learn from everything around us what we can do to improve our chances of success. So you see some of the things that you can do. Now, one of the things that I do, and I'm always prepared for it, whether I'm here or whether I'm somewhere else, I use Audible. So I have books on Audible. I have books on topics of interest to me. I have books on humor. I have books on many genres on my phone. I can get a pair of earbuds for $1 and listen anywhere I happen to be. I will take them on the plane with me. Put my phone in airplane mode and listen to a book that I've downloaded prior to. Make sure that it's on there. Make sure that I have access to it. And some people worry about the book playing endlessly while they've fallen asleep. Use the same technique you do at home. There is a way that you can have it play for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, half an hour before it shuts off. Then you know that that's the farthest you have to go back to remember where it shut off. All of those capabilities are available to us. Successful people make the best use of it. Sometimes I go on and I'm prepared with that, and I find that there is an interesting person seated next to me. Find that it may be better to use that time talking. If the person talking a bunch of foolishness, I just stick my earbuds in and I'm got that problem solved. So we look at option A, we look at option B, we look at option C. This is why we even have a schedule or a task of what we're going to do, because we know that if we can't do one, we can skip to another. And that changes. It changes during the day. It changes during the week. It changes due to other circumstances. When I was in Phoenix, I did not realize the amount of material that they had on the Tuskegee Airmen. You know, I'm thinking I'm going to look at something at Fort Huachuca or something, which is further down in Arizona, or something else about the many people there. But sometimes you find opportunities that you didn't realize existed. I was out, and I will be going back looking for it, but there's an all-black town that's not too far from Phoenix. It probably doesn't exist, but it's something that I've had an interest in. I have gotten talked to people who tell me approximately where it is. I don't expect there to be a giant memorial talking about it, but going to the library oftentimes gets us to a place where we can find things. When we go into a different city, oftentimes a Saturday paper will give events, club events, other happenings that are going to take place. It may not be in that particular issue, but you can certainly ask about it. And you may find a way to get information from experts that you had absolutely no idea were there. Speaking of the library, on Tuesday night, I attended a session at the Spartanburg County Library. I had been advised of it by one of the librarians because they know of my interest in Black history, and it was about John A. McFaul, a very reputable Black person who survived in the Charleston, South Carolina area, and talked to one of his relatives. Now, the book was not written by the relative. The book was basically written by him because he left his memoirs primarily for the family so that they would understand. But I have access to that. I also have access to her because we exchanged phone numbers. We exchanged other information. And we have many common interests. And in addition to that, another person that could fill out some of the information that she is looking for, because her great uncle fought with, she thought, the 368th, I believe it's probably the 369th, but we have a person that had a great uncle in the 371st who actually won the first was the first black person to win the Medal of Honor in World War I. So as we get around, now these interests may be completely different from yours. You may find, such as I did today, listening to an interview on National Public Radio, where Cartier Brown was on, talking about some of her cooking from the Lowcountry, Charleston, and what have you. And she went into information about the similarities between her cooking and that of the Gullah Geechee, the Creole influence in New Orleans. Oftentimes, you can find things of interest if you're looking for them. We often stumble across things. I will, many times in the morning when the news is going by, have a remote in my hand. Why? Because as they come up with surprises to me as to what's going on, I can hit record just that segment and stop it, save it, and go back and find information that I otherwise would not have known. There are many techniques that you will develop on your own, and I hope to hear from you on some of the techniques that you use. We find oftentimes the strangest of pairings, and that is people that you don't expect to have an interest in something. When I was at the meeting on Tuesday night, I met a gentleman, and he looked somewhat familiar, but I couldn't remember his name. And as we talked about McFaul and the lecture, which was excellent in my opinion, he had attended one of mine at the library where I had discussed Wendell Scott. Wendell Scott was the first black NASCAR driver inducted into the Hall of Fame, NASCAR Hall of Fame. I didn't realize at the time, but growing up here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, his first race was in Spartanburg. He had close friends in Spartanburg. He came down to do a race and was having problems with a carburetor, and the guy took his brand new, or allowed him to take the brand new carburetor off of his brand new car and use it in the race. And then I find that this guy is a resource because he's around here. We oftentimes cut ourselves out of the picture when it comes to success. We will oftentimes find people that are experts that we had no idea. Part of the reason and part of the cause of that is that we don't often communicate what we are doing. I think I referred a situation prior to where the park rangers were giving a talk, and I was asking about a particular event. The park ranger didn't know, but a guy in the crowd surrounding him knew, and we got together and exchanged information. You never know. Don't be afraid to communicate what you are doing to others, because you'll find that many people are supportive in so many different ways. You may have an idea for making something and happen to talk to a person that can aid you or send you to a place where you can get aid. You might be surprised at how well whatever it is that they have fits. But if it doesn't, you have not lost anything. You have gained some experience. You may find a different use of words to add to your vocabulary that makes somebody else say, oh, he knows what he's talking about, or she knows what she's talking about. Because success has no gender, folks. It has no gender. Men, women, tall, short, whatever descriptors you may want to use are all covered. But we oftentimes find that that's not the case. Just as I found out about the six Triple Eights. And those of you that don't know, it was an all-black, all-female group. I take that back. I think there was one person in the group that was Hispanic that passed as black. But they were well known in World War II, I believe it is, because they went over and they took care of a task that nobody thought that they could do. But they went over with a purpose. We often see or dream of things and think that it's not possible. I have had ideas before and said, well, if it was that important, somebody would have come up with it. How stupid is that? It didn't come up then. It hadn't come up now. My interest has changed. It's waned, and I don't have the capabilities that I had at a previous time. Don't let time pass you by. Don't be so timid with what you are doing, because remember this. You were created by the great creator. The great creator does not create junk. You may have one arm longer than the other. You may have a missing leg. You may have no ability to hear or to see or both, because we talked about having Gerner, young lady who graduated from Harvard Law School with honors, is both deaf and blind, and she's working today. We put too many roadblocks in our path. We put roadblocks in our own path. We sometimes listen to people who don't know what in the heck they're talking about. When we allow other people to talk us out of our own success, we should be ashamed of it. If and when you're ready, the teacher will appear. You will come across people who can help you advance your ideas. Whether you believe it or not, I've seen it happen more than once. There is a part of the book of John where you will know his voice. And I think about this because I've seen situations in which large groups of people, it sounds like a cacophony of sound in there. But your mother comes to that door and calls your name. You can hardly hear the person that's directly in front of you, but you hear that. There is something about that that I think leads us to success, but we are so timid that we don't heed it. We don't put our thoughts and our beliefs and our requests into the universe where they can be acted upon. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what separates us from, and I hate to say dumb animals, but it separates us from the animals. I want you to get, among other things, a way, a planner of some sort. Doesn't have to be fancy. Sometimes you can get a desktop sheet that's, what, 2 by 3 feet, whatever, and has dates on it. When you are looking at upcoming periods of time, up to a year or more in advance, put them on that calendar. When you have your computer, go down to the bottom right and click on the date, and it brings up a calendar. You can put notes in there for this week, next month, next year, and they will be there. They will remind you. And what we can do is use a tickler. What is a tickler? Let's say that you have something that you need to do in December. Rather than waiting till that day when it pops up, go back a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it takes, and put a tickler in there saying, this date is approaching. You have X amount of time. When I talked to you last week about the young lady that's calling, and on the 13th of November, there is going to be a preview of a movie that she has been working on. Her sister and I were classmates in school. But she texted me And I was going to text her back. I didn't get it done. And so 2 days later, she called me. Now, this is a business person's move. You want to know something. You can't just throw it out into the ether and just let it languish there. She called, and I said, yeah. And we made the date. We made the time. I am going to be at that preview at 2 o'clock on the 13th. It's going to be held at Wofford College. But we often depend on other people, and we do not follow up. It doesn't necessarily have to be a crack the whip, because we're going to ask them how things are going well enough in advance that they have time to do something. Oh, yeah, okay, here's what I'm going to do. That's better than waiting until the day that you need it and find out you don't have it and don't have any way of getting it. That throws you off. When you're dealing with business people who are familiar with goals and other requirements, they understand it. They even appreciate it. We sometimes think, well, I'm rubbing them the wrong way. Sometimes for business, we have to be business-like. We have to be business-like. There are ministers who need to be preparing, should be well on their way. What are they going to do for Christmas, the Christmas season, the New Year's? Because oftentimes it takes time to get something done. If you're going to have a program, check with who is going to be the director, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. All of this hopefully should be done by now, and you should be following up on a periodic basis as to how things are going. How things are going. Otherwise, who looks bad? You. You don't want to be unable to contribute what you said. And if you are the person in charge, you want to be able to deliver a great product for what you have. This is how we get in so much difficulty on our road to success. These are principles that we need to use not only during the holiday, but all year long. All year long. We need to do these things because they are business-like. If you are writing, there is so much that you want to do every day. Yeah, there will come times when you'll just have a piece of paper and nothing to put on it. That may be an indication that you need to take a break, refresh yourself, or do whatever. Sometimes you'll find tricks that get you out of the doldrums. At that point, use them. Use them to your advantage. Use them to your advantage. Reward yourself periodically. Maybe every week you look and give yourself a grade for what you've done that week. Every week is not going to be an A+. So you need to understand what is a success, what is a failure. You may have things that come up that change that schedule. But it's an ace in the hole. It's a winner. Always be aware. I was one of the people that said, this is what's expected, so what's the big deal? And I cheated myself out of some of the recognition that I would have had that keeps me on the road, because then I know I am moving in the right direction. I'm moving in the proper direction. We have people that are doing things online. We have people that are doing things offline. And again, this is where I request information from you, because I want to keep up with what people are doing, what they're looking for, what they're expecting, what they need help with. This is a primary purpose of what we're doing here. We're doing that and hopefully being responsive to your needs. And I'm not being oh, so magnificent. Why not? Because I learn when we put our heads together. It's not a one-way thing. I don't know it all. I hope that you don't put our heads together and come up with something better than either one of us could have come up with by ourselves. We try it. It may fail, but we've learned and we continue to do it. As long as we can be civil and talk about the differences that are there. We sometimes hear the concept of out of the box, thinking outside of the box. We get to a point where we think in such a manner, in such a pattern, that we often leave out extremely valuable points and concepts. This is why I like dealing with interdisciplinary groups. Somebody has a strong focus on one thing, someone has another. That doesn't mean that we can't work together, because this is when we work best together, because we don't leave things out. I look at the roads that are going in, and we will pave a road, and oh man, it is so nice to have a freshly paved road. And you come back a week later and there's a hole cut in it. Isn't there something we can do to prevent that? And then it's going to be years before it's ever repaved. We seem to be able to put a man on the moon or a rocket on Mars with precision, but we often can't get a road back to within an inch of where it was to start with. Ideas are what separates successful people from none. Sometimes your idea will be laughed at, sometimes in your face. Does that mean that it's not workable? Not at all. Again, as I went out today, I took my wife to a doctor, and I saw FedEx trucks. I saw UPS trucks. And I've told you the story about this. The concept, the idea that is the basis of these was developed by a college student who I think got a C on the paper, because the professor, the person that knows it all, didn't think that it would work, did not think that you could send anything in a different direction and get it to its ultimate place any quicker. But when we look, I don't know which one it is, but I think one has a hub in Memphis, and they fly things there. They truck things there. And then they have a big enough order that they can take an entire plane, fill it up, and send one to Los Angeles, one to San Diego, one to San Francisco, one to Portland, Oregon, wherever they may have to go. And this speeds things up so much. I even saw a DHL truck today. And those of you that can remember a few years back, they showed hundreds of those things being shipped to locations on trains. They have somewhat of a hole, but not like they anticipated, I'm sure. But when we do this, we must be dedicated to our concept. We must be dedicated to what we do. Sometimes we have to provide a proof of concept. There is now, and I don't remember which channel it's on, but they will have a series of Shark Tanks. And again, I watch it not as entertainment, but as learning. And how do I do that? I watch it, I record it, and watch it. When the person comes out, I critique the pitch that they make. I anticipate what the sharks are going to say. Is that the ultimate? No, because people have walked off turning down great offers and have succeeded. And every offer that goes in does not succeed. So we see people making their best judgments, but this allows us to understand the thinking that goes in on each side. And this is important to us. because we can utilize knowledge to our best interest. When we find out, and let's say we're planning this Christmas play, we have a date in mind, and we may have to have a backup date in case it rains or in case the sky falls or something else does. What are we going to do? What is our backup plan? Do we have one? Do we need one? These are the people that generally come out on top because they have considered the impossible. They are doing the impossible. People don't expect it, but you do it because, as Tiger Woods said, his father told him, small goals lead to larger goals. This is how he was able to walk. There were some people that never expected him to walk. And yet he participated in a tournament. And we saw him walking unaided. These are what happens. We have many people that may be in the hospital and say, well, I can't walk because this step is painful. Yeah, might be painful. But can you take it? You're going to have to take one step before you can take two steps. I'm not telling you to be a pain-loving individual, but sometimes moving in the right direction can bring some discomfort. We have to realize that. We have to realize that. And we have to work within the confines of what we have. There are many people wanting to move to the next step, and they haven't fulfilled the step that they're on. Let's see if we can't do that or at least make a solid enough connection that we can. I was talking to an individual the other day, and he is involved in a church, and the church was going through a book. I cannot remember the name of it now, but it was basically on revitalization of the church. And come to find out, wasn't all that much into it. In fact, he was leaving. And that dropped his respect quite a bit. Sometimes you have to be open. Sometimes you have to be honest. And this was one of those situations where it backfired on him because a lot of people lost a lot of disrespect. He didn't have the guts to tell people. And this is what happens to us on a different level. And we've talked about it already tonight. If you are not willing to tell yourself, not willing to tell your others, not willing to tell your God, not willing to tell you intend to do and to ask for help, sometimes you are doomed. Doomed from the start. Doomed from the start. Now, as we are talking about this program, some of you, many of you have joined us by device, such as your computer. I also found out quite by accident that some on their cell phones that did not call in and use the link are also in this boat. I cannot see you. The only ones I can see are the ones that dialed in. And the only reason that that is important is because on the switchboard that I have, only see those people who have dialed in. We appreciate all of you that are listening, and we appreciate you and hope that you will encourage others to listen to us. But even more than that, I want to encourage you to let us know what problems you're facing, what solutions you may have found. We can do this. We can do this because we are a community of success-minded people. We are a community of success-minded people. To show you what this is, I talked to a person today that may be joining us on Blog Talk Radio on their own show. But we have other shows that are coming up at 8 o'clock. Deacon Armstrong is going to come on. He has a dynamite program that's coming on. Not only do I want you to tell people about my program, I want you to tell them about his. We have Apostle Miller that comes on at 6 o'clock. And all of these are good programs. We have programs that come on different days. So use that link. See what the next scheduled program is. Find the ones that you like and recommend them to others. Like I said, I had difficulty, I believe it was last week or the week before, and Deacon Armstrong called me, said, "You're not on." No, I was having problems, and we had technical difficulties. But those things happen. They're going to happen to you. The best laid plans that you have, are sometimes you're going to stumble in them. Does that mean that you are a failure? No, it does not. Because we look not at how many times you fall, but how many times you get up. The successful person gets up one more time than they fail. That's a winner, folks. That is a winner. If we look at the life of anybody, and I love looking at biographies and autobiographies, and I'm going to get into the story, Resisting Jim Crow. And it's about the life of John A. McFaul. Excellent book. And that should be available. I got an autographed copy because I did go to the program. But even better than that is I have ways of contacting the author, and she has ways of contacting me. She did not actually write it, but she put together, she edited his words. We sometimes think that we're not important. When we look at books like The Valor of Cain, C-A-I-N, we find a person that looked and dug into his ancestry. And as he was digging through this ancestry, he had always been told that he had Native American blood, because there was some melanin in their skin. But it came from the Native Americans. That was okay. But as he began to look and search and find out what happened, he found the most amazing story. He didn't have Native American blood. He had African blood. And there are many people that do. I used to look at everything that came from Africa and look at it with some degree of shame. This week, or today, I posted a post on the Clotilla, which is the last slave ship discovered in America, last known slave ship that brought people over. And this is 50 years after slavery ended. It was found in the Mobile River in Alabama. And what is so important about this, people had told the story. Survivors of this had been put to work, and when they were able to, they formed their own town. There are people that said black people can't run a town because they can't do anything without the white man telling them what to do. They ran a town, and the vestiges of it are still there. But what happened is Mobile, because it's 3 miles north of Mobile, allowed heavy industry to encroach in the area, which brings pollution, which brings noise, which brings toxicity to the area. Redlining, which was fully endorsed by the federal government, did not allow for loans to maintain or to upgrade houses in this area. As a result, it's somewhat run down. But the story, when you find the perseverance that people that are related to you, and white people, please don't think that I'm leaving you out, because I think that everybody has the capability of doing better. We have people in Maine that have black descendants that didn't know about it, because Benjamin Darling had an island, Malaga Island, in Maine, and it was a mixed-race community. And there are people today finding out that they have black ancestors. There is nothing to be ashamed. I'm going to come out shortly with a post on the Ishango bone. The Ishango bone was found 18 to 20,000 years ago. To put that in perspective, Egypt, 3,000-4,000 years ago. And they had a complicated mathematical system based on a, but we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Nobody has any right to be ashamed because history has not shared the full story. History has not shared the full story. You, my friends, are as capable as anybody I have ever, ever talked with. And I love talking to members from the program. Very shortly, we're going to close the show because I want to give Deacon Armstrong the opportunity to come on at 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock. And I do that out of respect for the program and the content that he is going to provide us. I have difficulty sometimes getting on because I cannot start to get on until the previous show gets off, and that previous show often encroaches. So I'm glad that most of you are able to hang in there and wait until we are able to start. And I appreciate it so very much. Very much, whether you're on a device, cell phone, using the link, or a call-in. Now, I want you to prepare yourself for the program that's coming on at 8 o'clock. We're going to stop a few minutes early in order to allow Deacon Armstrong to set up properly and start his program right on time. I encourage you to listen. I think that many of you will be pleasantly surprised at what is available on Blog Talk Radio / Crown Talking Drums. We have programs for you on every day of the week. And as I indicated earlier, we're having another person that's interested in joining us who's a college professor in Denver, Colorado. So we serve the entire country. The entire world. We have people from outside the country that are regular listeners, and I want you to join us. My name is John C. Abercrombie. The program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. We hope that you will join us again. And on the Clotilla, we will be discussing that on Sunday at 4 p.m. You can use the same link. That's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And we're going to talk about this ship that came over. We're going to talk about the dedication of the people that survived and built a town, because so much of our history leaves that out, as if we did nothing, as if we just sing and dance for the master, not knowing that if you didn't sing and dance, you were going to be beat half to death and sometimes completely to death for failure to do that. The picture that we have of who we are and who you think we are is so skewed, it's not funny. Therefore, we encourage you to join us next Thursday and also on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. I am going to sign off now, and I encourage all of you listening to sign back on at 8 p.m., which is 55 minutes from now, and catch the wonderful program being presented by Deacon Armstrong. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.